Thank you, Brother Cody. If you will, take and open your Bibles up to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I had made comment earlier about the bright and colorful different blouses this morning of several of the ladies, and I missed one as I went back there to the back. There's a bright pink one back there with Miss Sharita, so I don't want to be in trouble for excluding her. Second Chronicles chapter 15. As you are firmly aware, we live in a time where it seems like there is trouble at every turn and every hand. Our nation is fractured, and that, especially as we look back, Mark mentioned a while ago his friend that he's known so long, the veterans of World War II, and as they commemorated the remembrance of those who sacrificed so much for us of what we now know as D-Day some 80 years ago. And those veterans range from well past 100 to 80s. That is a generation that is almost completely gone. And probably there will not be any, but very few, if they make the 100 anniversary or the memorial. We talk about in our day and time of, and it was a tragic loss of life on our own nation, on our soil, with 9/11. But when you learn of the men who passed that day on D-Day, was well over 5,000. Heavy cost. But they gave us the freedom, not only to us, but to the world at large, during that time of war throughout our world. And of course, the one who laid down his life for all of us is Jesus Christ. But in remembering that and listening to, had the opportunity to listen to some of those veterans who were interviewed. And more than once, they made the comment, "I do not recognize the nation I now live from when they were there before." And it is very fractured for all sorts of different reasons, but there's one root cause and one antidote to our fractured nation. And so this morning, the title of the message is Prayer for a Fractured Nation. And folks, we should all be in prayer about our nation, especially here. We have been blessed by God to be that light, as some of our past presidents has noted, that we are the light on the hill, the shining city of what freedom can be. And freedom only comes, just as our Constitution and the Bill of Rights enumerate, it comes from our Creator. And that, I am convinced, is what we have lost sight of. It's not my freedom, it's not your freedom. It was His freedom that He gives to us and blessed our nation. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 15 invites you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. If you are able, the nation of Israel depicts in the Old Testament, and God gives us an example of nations who follow His will, keep His statutes. He also gives us example of that same nation when they do not follow God and they do not keep the statutes and put Him first. And so we have in this chapter, Solomon has passed away. Asa is now the reigning over Judea. And there has been many things, as we will read in this very opening, and what has caused that, and he is given that by the Spirit of God who moved on the prophet for him, Azariah, that came and talked to King Asa. So 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1. Now the Spirit of God came to Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out and met Asa, and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all of Judea and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time Israel has been for a long time Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when their trouble, they turned to the Lord of God of Israel and sought him, and he was found by him. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in. But great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the land. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with even adversity. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Asa had heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from the land of Judea and Benjamin, and from the cities with which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar to the Lord and was before the vestibule of the Lord. And then he gathered together all of Judea and Benjamin and those who dwell with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. For they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered them together in Jerusalem in the third month in the 15-year reign of Asa. And the next one, in the next couple of verses here, what it does is it describes about giving the sacrifice of the old time. And it will also indicate that those who would not turn to the Lord and believe on him, they killed. Obviously, that's not what we would say today to kill, but what we do need to kill, that it is referencing of those people, is the evil. Skip with me, if you will, over down to 14. "Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all of Judea rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all of their heart and sought him with all of their soul, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around." You may be seated. We talk about all of the different things in our land today, and just as we read here of what Judea and Benjamin were experiencing, was that there was trouble everywhere. And the Lord had allowed them to see that adversity. I look at this and see a nation of where we have trouble everywhere. It's not just with our politicians. It's not just up in certain states. It is nationwide. And it is even as we see all the infighting that takes place in many churches. Because they have forgotten and forsaken the Lord our God who binds us all. You see, we all come from different backgrounds. We all have different ways. We all think a little bit different. But the unity of the Holy Spirit is the one that brings us together. We have talked about that before here in this church. In fact, that our church, God has blessed it so, and I am still convinced and will still proclaim to you, it is because of the unity of spirit of the membership here to worship the Lord. We may have times we disagree on small matters and things and so forth. But the ultimate, when we look, is not our will, not our way, but His will. His way. And when we yield to that, we find that unity and we come together. There is a lot today about politics. There's a lot today about someone being offended in different thoughts and different theology. Folks, I'm here to tell you there ought to be one theology. It is in our nation's flag, the pledge to it. It is in our Constitution. It is in our Bill of Rights. It is in our DNA. And that is, there is one true living God. And when we deny that fact, this nation was created and our forefathers had the understanding and the fortitude of what was written in the scriptures that we just read today, that we turn away from God and take Him out of everything, there's trouble and adversity everywhere. But when we focus and put Him first, and we read this twice in two different verses here, that when they sought Him, it first talked about Israel, and then it goes to Judea and Benjamin, both accounts. When they sought Him, they found Him. Jesus said those same words, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." He said, "Ask, you'll receive. Knock, it'll be open." He said, "Seek." Throughout Scripture, God over and over, the Father as well as the Son, say, "Seek my face." You and I are to seek Him. He didn't say, "Be perfect with me." He already knows we're incapable of being perfect. That's why He sent His Son. Sin entered in. But we have to, just as they did away with these people amongst their midst, we have to kill out the sin, eradicate it, and move it away from us. That is not honoring to our Heavenly Father. That is not, therefore, honoring to our nation. And most of all, it is not honoring to our children, because they are the generation that comes. Here he says that when they did that, they began to purge out those idols. They purged those things. And they says that they took an oath. In other words, they made a covenant between themselves and the Lord that they would seek Him. And notice what it says there in 15 when they did that. They had peace all around. Wow. You know, it's that simple. You can even take it from a nation or to a world perspective into our individual lives. When we're not honoring God and looking to Him first in everything, our lives begin to be in upheaval. It seems as though there's problems everywhere. And you say, "Well, now, even when I honor the God, I still have troubles." Yep, I'll be the first one to agree to that. But the thing of it is, when I'm looking to Him all the time, He gives me the answers how to fix that trouble or to leave it alone. He'll take care of it all on His own. But it's about seeking Him first. But when we do not put Him first, everything goes awry because we do not look to Him to give us the proper answer of what is the right thing to do or the wisdom. It's not a big deal when you look at the issues that we have and you go, "How can you say that's not a big deal?" It's really not. It simply takes some good common sense, some wisdom given by being on our knees and asking God to forgive us. How can I say that? Turn back a couple of pages. Let me give you here in 2 Chronicles. Don't have to go back very far, but just a couple of pages back. And God talks to Solomon before his passing in chapter 7. Mere 8 chapters back. But God comes to him and they are again, in the Lord appears in 2 Chronicles 7 and 12. It says, "The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice.'" He continues on. He says, "When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people." But the key comes in verse 14. "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their lands." It's that simple. And folks, as believers, as you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, as being disciples of our Heavenly Father, I am firmly convinced it is incumbent upon you and me to pray for our nation and pray for our leaders. That is very highly important. You and I talk about in here because of prayer and praise. Many of you give the praise. You go, we're going through whatever it is you were going through, and you say, I can feel the prayers. I feel that uplift. Well, I got news for you. Them representatives that we send, either whether it's in our city, our county, our state, or our nation, aren't any different. They need to feel those prayers, whether it's prayers of encouragement or prayers of conviction that they need to turn. It is important that we pray for our leaders, because when we have godly leaders, Bible again, over and over and over shows this by the kings of Israel and Judea and Benjamin, when they had a godly king, their nation thrived. When they did not have godly kings, they had all sorts of problems. And that's as a whole. It's not any one individual. It is having godly leaders that point to the way of the Lord. And that is important for you and I. To make it more personal, that is important in our own households. We see a nation, I hear that all the time, especially because of work, is, man, and I know those of you older than me probably said the same thing about my generation. I don't know about these young people, boy, they just don't get it. If you live to be old as Jean, she said it about several generations. I remember hearing my grandpa, this newfangled generation. Hey, Grandpa, you talking about me? Well, you're not going to be like them. And I'll give them credit. My parents and grandparents taught me about the gospel. And you see, even in Deuteronomy, the Lord Himself says that we, the older, the adults, are to teach our young people His statutes. And we live by example. We teach by example, just not word of mouth. So it is important if we want godly leaders, folks, when we come time to elect, it is ahead of a time you and I should be on our knees asking who we should vote for. Their job is to represent us. If you really take a look across this nation, what we got represents the people, unfortunately. But I cannot believe it is the vast number of people they represent. We've not spent our time on knees and done our due diligence as Christians and believers to ask God to forgive our sins and heal our lands. That ain't preaching at you, that's including me. We come upon the cusp here shortly of having an election. But it reminded me as well, as I looked at this, and I thank the Father that we had men with fortitude who were willing to go and sacrifice their lives and their lives of their friends and their husbands and their sons and their daughters and so forth on those days we celebrated and commemorated of D-Day. There's a single man who went to a bigger battle than that on a hill they call Calvary. That you and I might have true freedom. And we learned the horrors of that war and the things as man could do to another as we found Auschwitz and other concentration camps where they were released. Millions of people put to death in that war. And if you watched any of those or have read the history of the documentary, my wife and I talked about that with D-Day as they recounted that and to remember it. And, you know, a lot of times they do the questions, the news media go out and ask people different things. It's amazing to me that they can't even tell you who the president is or who the first president of our nation was. But even on that, some of them couldn't tell what D-Day was about. That's sad. Because you see, when we forget history, it will repeat itself. Without a doubt. But as we looked at those things and we saw and it talked about the decisions that men had to make, Dwight Eisenhower and the other, and Churchill and the others of the Allied forces, and how everything looked totally against them. And even the Germans looked and they said, they'll never attack because the weather's so bad. And God opened up a window. A window of time. And you say, well, that's just the weather. No, that's the hand of God. And the reason I say that is because just a few months later, as they won that battle, he opened up another window for the nation of Israel to be a nation. And today we talk about taking that away. You'll never take away and go against God's word. When he binds it, it's there, no matter what we think or want to do. I encourage you to pray for this nation. Don't gripe and complain about it. Pray about it. For he makes us a promise here in the Old Testament. It was true to the day of Solomon. It's true to our day. And we see that again with Asa. He will hear our prayers and heal our lands when my people, Lord says, my people, you and I as believers, we are God's people. That's who it speaks to. When my people pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them and I will heal their land. A fractured nation is just like a fractured bone. You splint it, you give it time, you take the corrective measures, it gives times and it becomes actually on a break. Medical will tell you the place where it broke becomes stronger than it was before it broke. This nation has done that before by the hand of God. It can do it again if we properly tend to the fracture. I ask you to commit that to prayer. If you have fractures in your own family, maybe it's at work, maybe it's in family, wherever it is, I would tell you the same thing. God is never changing. He's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. He says, if you want to be healed, seek me. Seek him in those issues. He's still the great physician of all time. He heals that what man cannot even touch. It starts by knowing Jesus Christ personally. It starts by humbling ourselves and our will to his way and his will. He will never lead us in the wrong path. He makes that commitment. He says, I will cover you with my hand. My wife mentioned she saw a photograph this morning and she said how apropos it was, the fact of Jesus holding a lamb and the wolves were jumping at his back. That's powerful. The term says, picture's worth a thousand words. That's our nation. God desires to protect us. But evil is the wolf that is jumping on the back and trying to destroy everything. And that wolf's desire, it's not Jesus Christ. Satan doesn't want him. Satan already knows he can't touch him because he's already defeated him. But he sure wants the lambs. He wants the sheep. Decisions we make, we offer up. We're the sheep. We're the adults. The decisions that we make or the decisions we decide not to make, we sacrifice our lambs, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Whatever's important to you, give it to the Lord. Seek his face for those that you truly love and care about. Let us pray. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, we want to give you that opportunity because that is the beginning of healing. He will come and heal that broken spirit. Physically, you may be fine. Physically, you may be ailing. But without Jesus Christ, each one of us is dying spiritually. There's only one who can heal and resuscitate and bring back to life. And the greatest thing of all, it's not life just for while you and I physically live, but it is eternal life. Jesus told the woman at the well, he said, you don't know who ask you for water, because if you did know, you would ask me for living water. Have you asked him for that living water today? Have you give your life to him? And again, not by word, but I mean give it to him. You made that commitment, that covenant we just read about that the people here made to the Lord. And there was great rejoicing. Jesus says, when that one comes, all of heaven rejoices. Have you made heaven rejoice? For you see, they're just waiting to know that you accept Jesus Christ. We want to give you that opportunity this morning. We'll pray all together to encourage you.